Greetings from the sunny west coast of Florida. The Duke Meister took a sabbatical. It's been about 6 weeks since I've sat at the broadcast mic for my podcast, and I am glad to be back. Been an exciting, different learning time for me this past 6-8 weeks. I came down with a COVID-19 virus. I laid kind of low about all of that. I was blessed to have very light symptoms. Started out with a stuffy nose, a little bit of burning in my sinuses, a little bit of strange burning pain in my eyes just for a few hours one night. Wouldn't have known I had COVID, but completely lost my sense of smell and taste. That was interesting. When you can't tell the difference between bacon and chocolate pudding, you may have the COVID-19 virus. But we had been on vitamin D, vitamin C, and zinc for a long time. We eat healthy, keep ourselves physically fit, and perhaps that was a help as the virus came to our house. My wife had no symptoms at all. Perhaps she had it. She was asymptomatic. We don't know. But it all turned out well. But the 10 days in lockdown were difficult, going through difficult days in our country politically. Going through some struggles as sometimes rejection comes our way as children of God trying to stand up for Jesus. He told us, blessed are you when all men shall revile you and speak evil against you falsely, which is coming in my podcast here in just a moment. But it was a difficult time. On January 26th, my COVID lockdown was over. We got in the car and headed south. Took 2 days to get here. Had a wonderful time so far in Sarasota region. Here in Florida, was able to go to Melbourne last week, do a prophecy conference, and it went really, really well. And today I resume my podcast ministry. So thank you for your patience. Hope we can pick up where we left off and kind of be looking at prophecy in the news and some of Pastor Duke's greatest hits, if you please. Things burning on my heart through 50 years of ministry that I just want to get out to the world and to you to help in any way I can. And so the sabbatical kind of is over. We're going to launch back in. I want to say a very special thank you to Scott and Rose Dyer, former members of my church back in New York, moved south on us, and God put on their heart to send a financial gift to me to help underwrite the cost of the podcast ministry. So, Scott and Rose, thank you so much. Contribution paid for my presence on the Podbean host wall, if you please, for 4 years and $20 left over for a pizza for the Duke Meister and John Westfall, who is my editor. Thank you, John. Love you. Miss you. We'll be back in the saddle together next month. So, today we pick up on some things that are happening in the news as I see things prophetically unfolding. Today I'll focus on two huge prophetic words. Word number one, control, and word number two, division. It's nearing a year since COVID first hit, and a whole lot of water has gone over the COVID dam. Hindsight is a whole lot clearer than foresight. I'd call my message today, Satan is tightening his grip. When we see Satan's fall recorded by God in detail in Isaiah 14, what he wanted to do was gain complete control of heaven. Being number two was not good enough. He needed to be number one. He said, I will ascend to the throne of the Most High. I shall be as God. When he was cast down from heaven, along with one third of the angels, which chose to follow in his rebellion, he was on mission here on earth. What was that mission? Exactly the same as it was in heaven. Control people's destiny. Remember, Jesus said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. So Satan says, if I'm going to hell, I want everyone to go to hell with me. He wants to be in control of our destiny, but he wants to be in control of way more than that. He wants absolute control of planet Earth. He wants absolute control of our lives. So this is his historic pattern, to blind people to bind people, and ultimately to destroy people. We know power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. We know from Revelation 13, God will allow Satan's Antichrist to rise to power in a world that has completely rejected Jesus. I see the Antichrist not even able to arise until after the rapture of the church. I get that from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, he who now letteth will let. I believe that's the Holy Spirit who lives inside of all of us who believe. He who now letteth will let, the Holy Spirit, until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked Antichrist be revealed. So I'm not fearful of who the guy will be and try to put him down. That's not my calling. My calling is to be aware and to watch. So the world has had their opportunity to know the gospel. Jesus Christ lighteth the path of every man that cometh into the world, John 1:9. Jesus Christ stands at the door of our heart and knocks. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. The world has had a successful mission as the gospel has sent to the ends of the earth through church, the Church of Jesus, our missionary activity. People have heard, people have made their choice. Jesus returns. There's nothing holding back Satan's Antichrist. Now the church is in heaven, Revelation 4 and 5, the heavenly scene. Meanwhile, on planet earth, in Revelation chapter 6, we have the rise of the infamous Antichrist, and he is on an agenda to take over the world. It is now the last days, and God told us prophetically he's going to allow Satan to do that. When we look in Revelation chapter 13, we see that the global government will be absolutely totalitarian government. I've been preaching that for almost 50 years. America will fall to socialism, will be led into the New World Order. We didn't even know what the New World Order was back in the early 70s, but we do today. It will be a cashless society, we see from Revelation 13. Money will be digital. You know, if you were to use the word digital money 60 years ago, no one would even have a clue what you were even talking about. Oh, how times have changed as we near the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We see artificial intelligence in Revelation chapter 13 as the false prophet gives power to the image of the beast both to speak. We see the harsh totalitarian nature of his regime. We see the technocracy in full power and control, the mark of the beast, the infamous 666, the chip implanted in the right hand or in the forehead. Isn't it interesting? The Bible says in and not on in the King James Version. No chip, no purchase, mandatory. You think we've seen lockdown in 2020? You ain't seen nothing yet, buddy. The worst is yet to come. When I first read Revelation 13 in 1972, it was very Star Trek-y, mysterious to me. It just was something hard to take literally, but I did by faith. And today, that which was so hard to see is our everyday reality. Today, it's our techno reality, what we see unfolding in Revelation chapter 13. Nothing evil about the technology, but the exact technology the Revelator, John, wrote 2,000 years ago telling us how that last days regime would operate. And so we've had some lockdown in 2020, but nothing like what is coming soon, coming to our world, where the whole world's populace will be under the control of this Antichrist. You can summarize the whole chapter with one word. I'm speaking of Revelation 13. The word is control. So let's hit the rewind button and go back about a year or so ago. We had no clue what was about to hit our world. Not just America, the whole world. The very first pandemic of my lifetime. Fear gripped our world. Fear gripped me. I became a little bit of a germaphobe. We masked up, we gloved up, we locked down, we social distance, watched our economy crashing. We watched store shelves emptying. Toilet paper was hoarded at a premium, hard to get. We were hanging on Dr. Fauci's every word. We complied because we're a decent society. We stayed home to save lives. The cases, the deaths were 24/7 in our face whenever we had on the news, which was just about all the time. We willfully put ourselves under their control. our thinking had to be framed to believe we were doing the right thing. We blindly trusted that they had our best interests in mind. But not long into the lockdown, the mainstream media story began to change. Turns out it wasn't bats to human transmission of the COVID-19 virus. Fauci had deep financial investment in Wuhan for years, but chose not to tell us about that. Therapeutics were opposed, ridiculed, censored. That had never happened before when a cure for a disease is put down, hidden from the public. That's not supposed to happen in a free society. The 14-day lockdown became a month and now nearly a year. Never before had the well been quarantined. But this was an unprecedented time in our lives and in our history. Many of us remember thinking about a month or so into the pandemic as we were watching those in authority over us doing 180s, begin to get that sinking feeling in my heart. Perhaps it's a plandemic and not just a pandemic. In April 2020, I told my wife, Joellen, there's one statistic that will be the tell-all for me concerning what really is going on. Is all this true, or is all this a ploy with something sinister behind it? At the end of 2020, I want to see the total number of deaths in America compared to the number of deaths in 2019. Same for the world. Total number of deaths in the world, 2020 versus 2019. And I waited to the end of the year. I went to the CDC, got the information directly from them. And guess what? Most of you already know this. The total number of deaths for 2020 were slightly lower than from 2019. If it was a true pandemic, those numbers would have been staggeringly higher, but they were actually just a little bit lower. That was a huge wake-up call for me. What I had suspected and hoping wasn't true turns out to be true. All the while, the number of COVID deaths were alarmingly high. The numbers of deaths due to heart attack, down, due to cancer, down, due to automobile accidents, down. And we find little by little that a lot of other deaths were labeled COVID, as doctors and hospitals were rewarded extra money. Oh, follow the money. Extra money to call it COVID when in reality it was death due to something else. So at the end of the year, it looks to me like it was a bad flu season, highly contagious, really deadly to those who had other health, major health issues along the way. But that's what the flu always does. And so now we're living in the aftermath of all of the decisions that were made this past year. It just happened to be an election year. Oh, I'm sure politics had nothing to do with this. Oh, yeah. But all of that drama that we've been living in the midst of, trying to figure out who do you trust when you hear things, all of that is the little picture. I want to focus on the big prophetic picture. One word summarizes it all, the word control. Those who do not buy into the mainstream media's agenda are censored, fired, and labeled concerning the COVID issue. In 2020, the number one COVID issue, I think, was control. In 2021, I think the big issue is going to be a vaccine that's mandated. Enforcement will be the center stage as Satan's step number two. Control, bring fear through COVID, and then to bring an enforced vaccine upon a people group. It's interesting when you think of the COVID kill rate, it's 1 in 1,000 and going down, especially young people. With such a non-threatening virus, why would you want to mandate an untested vaccine? It doesn't make sense. There's something more going on to all of this.
And those that agree and those that disagree, we do agree that we want what's best for people. We don't want to be a threat to anybody. We don't want to spread the disease. But on the other hand, the realities that are unfolding about the disease are not what we were told it was just a year ago. So vaccine enforcement will be the big deal in the year 2021. And I'll be thrilled if I'm wrong. I see this untested vaccine and push for enforcement as Satan's forerunner for his ultimate mark of the beast, his full control that we read about in Revelation chapter 13. So I see all of that as a segue, what happened last year, what's happening this year, as a segue for Satan to ultimately implement the mark of the beast. I see Satan's subtlety in the press for mandatory vaccinations. It won't be a direct government decree, you know, take it or you're dead. It will be framed, interestingly, that if you're wise and you're good, you'll vax up for the good of the people, you know, package it in a pretty way. People are already being forced to vaccinate with these unproven, untested vaccines to maintain their jobs. I've had church members come to me weeping that I've not spoken to at all, but they're being forced to take a vaccination that it's untested and they're uncomfortable with. They've studied a little bit on their own. They've heard about luciferase. They've heard about the RNA factor makes them nervous. Many of the people that are coming to me are medically trained people, nurses, first responders. Oh, first it will be for the military and for medical workers, then the vaccination proof, ultimately, to get onto an airplane, to get into public events, to go to public places, and finally, and ultimately, in the real lockdown, when you have to be vaccinated in order to go into a grocery store. Boy, does that sound like Revelation 13 or what? Already two nations have mandatory vaccines, Israel, which kind of surprises me, and Indonesia. And I expect the number of nations forcing the vaccine to continue to go up in the prophetic view. No matter where you stand on the vaccine, pro or against the mandatory aspect of the vaccine that is developing, is a violation of the Nuremberg Code. It's a violation of the American Hippocratic Oath that doctors take. You know, once upon a time, we had science. People like me and millions of others who've had the COVID-19 virus now have the antibodies. Thank the Lord for that. We are safe from the virus, and we are safe never to transmit it to others. I'd take an antibody test in a second to prove my non-threatening health condition. I'd give my blood in a second to help save a COVID sick person. But that won't be enough. There's no push whatsoever for therapeutics, and thank God we've got them. The press is for a global vaccination verification. No push for building the human immune system like we do, vitamin C, vitamin D, and zinc, huge prophylaxis. But it's not part of the global vaccination narrative. You see, it's not really COVID that seems to be the issue. It seems to be control. The same crowd that says, my body, my choice for abortion rights, says, your body, our choice concerning COVID vaccination. Mandatory vax violates the Nuremberg Code, as I'd said, the American Hippocratic Oath. Informed consent has been fundamental to Western medicine, yet now with COVID-19 vaccination, not so much. Information is being hidden. Information is being censored. Information is being silenced on the results of the vaccination as it has already begun to go forth. My wife studies daily the Center of Disease Control and the statistics that are being mounted on bad reactions to the vaccine. The death rate, I think, has soared over 1,100 of people that have taken the vaccine and died. But they are not going to tell you that on the mainstream news because it doesn't fit the narrative. Throw out the facts, hold on to the narrative.
tens of thousands of doctors and nurses are facing losing their jobs as they sound warning on these untested vaccines. Many of us want to know both the short-term and long-term effects of this never-before-used RNA modification in the vaccines. Will it change the human genome? Will we be stepping into transhumanism? Some call it human 2.0. There's never yet been a successful COVID vaccine to date. Why should an untested COVID-19 vaccine be mandated? Excuse me. I believe the devil is in the details. I believe it's the Prince of Darkness creeping into ultimate control of humanity. It sure fits the Revelation 13 narrative. So word number one for today is control. Word number two, we focus on division. We've always had division. You raise two kids, you get division every day, but not on this level. Division with hostility. Up to 2020, we could be in public and yet we're not really divided. You didn't know what the guy was thinking in the grocery store as he was reaching to grab a carton of ice cream out of the frozen food section. But today, you take off that mask, you pull that mask down below your nose, and you will be attacked in the New York public arena where I live and so glad to be out of for 8 weeks this year. I'm a snowbird and I love it. We check the weather back home every day, and every time we do, we're so happy to be in Florida for a few weeks. Fear has gripped a good part of our nation, fueled by the mainstream media, of course. Fear often makes us irrational. Scriptures point out clearly about our last day social scenario. The love of many will wax cold, Jesus told us. You shall be hated for my name's sake, we are told. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The last day social society will be hostile. People will be divided, and we are living through that like never before. Today's division is at a whole new level. Division driven by fear and hostility. We've heard Madonna wanting to blow up the White House. We've heard Biden wanting to punch Trump in the face, take Trump out back behind the school if they were younger and whoop him. Maxine Waters crying out to attack conservatives. AOC calling for FEMA camps to become concentration camps for conservatives to re-educate them. The progressive agenda funded anarchy all summer long as Minneapolis and Seattle and many other U.S. cities burned. There was no voice of opposition from them. This is not the America we grew up in. But we, as Christ followers, we got to get above all the political crap as soldiers of the cross. Having studied the prophecies, should any of this political and social departure from God and truth be of any surprise to us at all? The patriot in me is greatly saddened by what I see happening politically in my country, but the spirit of Christ in me is thrilled as the day of our Lord is hastening. That's a good thing. You know, if things got better and better, then the prophecy would be false. 2 Timothy 3:13, we're told that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I look upon my political adversaries not as enemies, but as deceived and blinded by the prince of this world. I see it on Facebook as friends from years past find me and hold not to my biblical worldview. At first, they're nice and friendly, and then they see my conservative views on things, and they raise questions, which is great. I have answers. Then they'll confront me, which is great. That which is divine has no fear of rational inquiry. If I'm wrong, I want to be corrected. Then ultimately, they're outright attack me, call me bad names. I'm a false prophet. I've got the blood of innocent people upon my hands. I'm a hypocrite. I'm on my way to hell and I'm blind. And so sometimes I have to block people. I hate that. But it's amazing. People on social media will kind of behave in a way, a boldness that they wouldn't have in public. They wouldn't have the guts to come face to face with and even ask the questions. Just a bunch of wimps. But that's okay. I have wimpy things about me too. So I just want the best for all people. But it's dramatic to be involved and engaged in all of this. So we see that civility is really being lost from our society. It was lost in Washington a long time ago, but it's sad to be part of it as it's lost from our society today. You know, that attack mode, cancel culture, that's a two-way street too. And I see fellow Christians, and I think they mean well, and I see fellow conservatives who I know they mean well, but it's not right for us to go on to attack. We're on the winning team. We should not be threatened by all of this. We should live above that by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. I decry Christians and conservatives attacking our adversaries. Engage them, yes. Challenge them, yes. Warn them, yes. But attack? No. Pray for them. Live exemplary before them. Keep your eyes off them and always on our Lord. Don't let people mess you up about God. Let God straighten you out about people. Did Christ have opposers? Yeah. Did not King Herod try to kill baby Jesus? Did not his home synagogue try to throw him over the cliff in Nazareth? I've been to that cliff. You tumble over that thing, you're dead meat. 13 times in the Gospel of John, did they not try to kill Jesus and yet failed? For his time had not yet come. He was in complete control of the situation then, and I assure you he is in complete control of the situation now. Is not this the same Christ who came to live in our hearts when we called upon him to ask him to come into our heart and save us from the penalty of our sin? Did Christ not tell us the world will hate us because they hated him first? Did he not say to us that we would be blessed? Did he not bless us with exceeding promise in the Beatitudes? Blessed are you when all men shall revile you, speak evil against you falsely. Which of the prophets ever had an easy way with the populace? Do we think ourselves to be above our master? Do we believe we deserve an easy way? Do we think America should almost be Christ's kingdom? Do we fold up our faith when we are wrongfully attacked? Did John the Baptist water down his message to Herod to gain the favor with the Roman side of governance? Now it's our time to stand. It's the last days as followers of Jesus Christ. It's our time to put it all on the field. Count it all joy when all men shall speak evil against us. So they wrongfully call us homophobes, deplorables, unredeemables, xenophobes. I didn't even know what that word meant until they called me that. Call us science deniers because of our position on creation. They call many of us anti-vaxxers. Well, I wear all of those labels as a badge of honor. When they curse us, let's bless them. When they despitefully use us, let's pray for them. When they hate us, let's rise up and love them. After they have beaten the apostles, they forbade them to speak of the name of Jesus. What did they do? They went on their way rejoicing, counted a privilege to suffer for his name's sake. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread from house to house, preaching the gospel from house to house and in the temple every day. That was their time. This is our time. Let's not whine about the American freedoms that are slipping away. Let us rejoice in the eternal freedom soon to be released upon us. Our victory is not in the First or Second Amendments or even the U.S. Constitution, which I love. Our victory is in a cross and in an empty tomb and a coming Savior. I've always hated controversy. I feel bad that I do bad at it. I don't like it. I don't feel the need to try to win arguments. But on the other hand, I surely do not want to compromise the truth of God's word. I do not want to be silenced by the voice of the enemy. I will joyfully receive the rebuke and hate of this world as I live out the final part of my journey. If I am hated, I want it to be for my positions and not for my disposition. I would like to be able to use the words of my Lord when he said, "For which of my good works do you condemn me?" They call me a homophobe, but thank God I have ministered to many homosexuals who love me and faithfully serve the same Jesus I serve and stand where I stand today. I preached over 40 years in rest homes, city missions, 30 plus years in our local county jails. We've intentionally brought hope to the hopeless. We serve our widows and our orphans. They are paramount in our churches. Do you condemn us for that? We try to save babies from abortion and serve the needs of single mothers financially, whatever they may be. Do you condemn us for that? We are primarily a white church, but we have many mixed marriages in our church racially. We have several white couples fostering and adopting black children coming out of some of the most horrific conditions. Do you condemn us for that? We serve our local food pantries, gathering tens of thousands of dollars each year from our local church food value, putting it into the food pantries in our community. Do you condemn us for that? We take the lead in serving our local schools with school supplies, backpacks, and holiday food packages for the less fortunate among us. Do you condemn us for that? We want everybody to go to heaven. We want no one to go to hell. We want marriages to work and families to be safe, happy, strong, and sound. We want kids to be safe and know unconditional love. We want them equipped to make good moral decisions. We provide great events for our kids, camps, outreach, venues to teach them. Do you condemn us for that? So I am choosing to fight back all the hate and hostility with love, patience, and good works. God is our final judge. He knows what's going on. Impressing him is more important than impressing the world around me. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. In conclusion, watch for the press for mandatory concerning the vaccine as a segue into the mandatory Mark of the Beast in Revelation 13. Watch for control to continue incrementally by the progressive global government mandates. I see the growing technocracy being center stage in the control development, space links above, 5G below, the upcoming vaccines from within. We'll talk more about that later. I see Satan advancing his global governance into the new world order. I see personal liberties fading away. I don't like it, but I expect it. I see Satan tightening his grip, packaging his evil agenda in the pretty package of for the greater good. I see his deception getting stronger. I see the deceived becoming more fearful and more angry and more hostile. Hope I'm wrong, but I know human nature and I know the enemy. I believe the Biden administration will be hastening the day of the Lord, and that's a good thing. I don't like the politics direction for my country as a spoiled, wimpy American consumer, but as a prophetically aware warrior of the cross, I'm not a bit surprised. I've preached for 50 years these days would come, and baby, now they are here. Aren't you glad to be on the winning team? Aren't you glad to have a Savior who's coming again? Jesus is my Savior. I shall not be moved. In his love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. You may ask, well, how can I get on this winning team? It is so simple. Jesus already did the heavy lifting. He went to the cross. He suffered. He bled. He died. He took the penalty for your sin. See, that's what will keep you out of heaven is your sin, for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. But if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Here's how you get on the winning team. You say a prayer. It's not the magic of words. It's the call of your heart. Would you right now ask Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the virgin-born Son, our Savior, ask him to forgive you of your sins, come into your heart and save you, change you from the inside out. That's how you get on the winning team. Glad to be on it with you. Hey, thanks for serving the Lord. Thanks for loving me. Thank you for listening to my podcast. And I pray that you'll like it, share it, subscribe, all that stuff, and to help me get the gospel to the ends of the earth. Man, it's exciting days. Jesus is coming again, and that's good news. What's happening in our world today, Satan's tightening his grip, and politics are only hastening the day of the Lord. That's good news. Hey, Jesus loves you. So do I. Bye for now.